Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for bringing us all together again, Lord. And I know there's going to be a lot more out there listening. Father, we just praise you and glorify you for bringing us together in one heart, one mind, and one accord. We praise you for that, Father, because we are in one accord, because we love you. We're going to allow you to guide us and lead us tonight. Father, just bless everybody here tonight that's prayed up, ready to go to work in the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight, because of this communion, we're going to find out, Lord, that people get healed because of it. People get delivered because of it. And we just praise you, Father, for all that you do tonight. In the name of Jesus, bless this meeting, Father, with your Holy Spirit, your angels, and all around about us, Lord. I feel your presence. I know that everybody else does too, Father. We just praise you, Lord. Can't help but praise you. You're worthy of our praises, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, for helping us out tonight. Guiding us each step, Lord, and let every word that everybody speaks be a revelation to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? It was all quiet on the front. Yeah, Mel.
Well, I'd like to pray for rain. We're really dry up here for this time of year. This is the time of year we get our rain. And this is when people's wells get filled up and the ground level, the water level, groundwater rises. And we've just hardly had any rain, and they're not forecasting much of anything. And we're in southern Washington, but I want to pray not only for our area, but all the way down through Oregon and California and all the way down to El Cajon, where Julie is, because it's just hit us, this whole part of the country. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We want to thank you for your great faithfulness, your forgiveness to us, your mercy, your long suffering with us, Lord, your temperance, and Lord, your great wisdom in what you're doing. And Lord, we don't know, you know, if this is weather modification or what, but Lord, it's dry. It's very dry here. And Lord, we pray for an outpouring of rain all up and down the West Coast, and Lord, that not only here, but it's just going to move across the country, because Lord, I'm praying not only for the rain in the natural, but the rain in the spirit, the sound of abundance of rain, that outpouring of the former rain upon us, Lord, to strengthen us and to teach us and to guide us and to convict us and to help us. I'm realizing more and more and more when we ask you for help, the way we get your help is through the helper, the Holy Spirit. He's our helper and our comforter. And Lord, we need that and we want that and we believe for it. And Lord, just pour it on out in the natural and in the spirit. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing here. And Lord, we just give you highest praise. And Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being our Redeemer. And Father, thank you for your grace. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the rain. Amen. You're more powerful than that weather modification machine. Lord, you can do anything. Thank you, Father.
I want to add to that prayer. I just command that weather machine to be broken perpetually and this won't function anymore. So the weather that we get will be what God gives and not what some man decides.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask that down in South Africa also, I got a text from, I believe it was Monroe, and they're awful dry down there too, Lord. I'm asking you to give them rain. This is their rainy season as well. Their spring down there. And Father, we thank you that you are going to send rain down there where Monroe is, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for doing it. Thank you, Lord, that the next text I get from Monroe is going to be that it's raining. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Monroe and that group out there, Lord. I believe it was Monroe. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
And just a quick pray for my son Aaron that he gets a job soon. He's looking right now, trying to find something that he's venturing out in other areas he hasn't done yet. So he's looking at surveying. But I just say, I ask Lord that he give him anything for now, just to keep him busy and start bringing some income so he can have take care of the responsibilities, have financial responsibilities. Thank you, Father, here in our prayer.
Amen. What kind of surveying, Dave?
He wants me to he's got that degree in geography, but he wants to,
civil engineering job.
It would be in that line, right. And even though his degree didn't exactly cover that, he kind of has the idea of what it's about, and he has similarities to it. I suggested surveying because I've seen some guy do it, and kind of took off in his head, and he was looking at it and thought, hey, I didn't look too bad. I'd like to try that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's fun. It's outdoors.
That's what he likes, the whole idea of not being stuck behind a computer, being outdoors.
Amen. He might have to carry the flag for a while. That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. you got to start somewhere, whatever it takes, right?
Amen.
Not so bad starting at the bottom.
Oh, no. Well, Lord, we just thank you for getting that boy a job doing that, Lord, so he'll learn that aspect of his degree in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, anybody else? Well, I don't see why we can't get started. Did everybody get a copy of that teaching by David called the Gospel of Communion or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, you about had it right. It's the good news of communion, the Gospel of Communion. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Y'all might have to continue with that, man. Man, let's hide it. All right, in the name of Jesus, you better show up. Here it is. Hey, Andrew. I stuck it up there so I wouldn't lose it.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. The Lord bless us as we go through this communion teaching, and let it be a blessing to everybody out there. The good news of communion, praise God. David says, I want to talk to you about communion, the Passover. And I want to start in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, he's going to talk about communion and why you need to flee idolatry to have communion. Communion is communion with the Lord, the body and blood of Christ, the real God. Some people are worshiping a false god. For some people, their own self is their idol. And so they have created a god after their own image that pleases them. You can't have communion with God if you're going to be worshiping idols. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, the cup of blessing. So this is a cup of blessing. It's not just a ceremony. You actually receive something from this if you're doing it right. So let's find out what doing it right is. Let's find out what the qualifications to have communion are. Okay. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? What is a communion? Communion means having in common the blood of Christ. Having in common. We are the body of Christ, and the one who lives in us is Christ, and his blood is in us by faith. As a matter of fact, that's why we do communion, is to accept that it is in us by faith, and as the body of Christ worldwide, we should be having communion with each other and with the body of Christ, of the blood and the body of Christ. However, that's sad because that's not possible. And I'll share with you in a minute why that's not possible. But we can at least have communion in our outreach fellowship if we are careful and if we are to do what we are supposed to do. We have this communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now, we know the body of Christ was smitten so that we could have health. Amen. You know that 1 Peter 2 and 4 says that by his stripes you were healed. And also the blood of Christ, the wine, of course, in communion represents the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ is ours just as the body of Christ is ours. When we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's the Lord. We're coming into the image of Christ and his body, and his blood is pure. We inherited blood from our parents. That's the problem. Because the curse is passed on in the blood. We're talking about the natural blood. As a matter of fact, the blood, the Bible says in Leviticus 17 and 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So that's what you got when you're born. The life of the flesh that your parents passed on to you. Notice that you have characteristics that are just like your parents, and that you have more characteristics like your parents than you know. But what we want is to inherit the blood of Christ, not the blood of our parents. And we do this by faith when we take communion. We're partaking of the pure blood of Christ. Now, Leviticus 17 and 11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The Greek word for life is soul. The soul of the flesh is in the blood. The soul of whose flesh is in this blood? The blood of Christ. The soul of Christ. And that's his mind, his will, and his emotions. And notice that we are partaking of this when we partake of the blood of Christ by faith. In communion, we are partaking, we are accepting this gift. And it's truly the cup of blessing. It's the cup of blessing when it's done by faith, just like baptism. When we're baptized, the baptism itself helps us, enables us to have an imagination that we're being buried with Christ and coming out of the water resurrected with Christ. And so we accept the resurrection life of Christ through baptism. It's an enabler for our faith and our imagination to join together, because you really can't have faith unless you can imagine something. So it enables us, it helps us as humans to be able to cooperate with God. And the communion is the same thing. It's something that enables our imagination to believe we have received something from God by faith. And so to receive the body of Christ is to receive a body that is not afflicted with every kind of a curse. Jesus himself bore the curse upon himself that we might have Abraham's blessing. He bore the curse, he bore the sin, he bore the sickness, he bore all that upon himself so that we could have his body. His body meaning a body that is free from the curse of sin and death. And his blood, which means his mind, his will, and his emotion, his very nature, your soul is your nature. The nature of Christ is given to us already by the reconciliation. That means the exchange. He made reconciliation. He made an exchange of his life for ours. So when we partake of the body and blood of Christ at communion, we are partaking of that. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. No, it's not transubstantiation that the Catholics talk about. It's not physically that. It's that by faith, which is even more powerful. We accept by faith that we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. We profess that we're doing that. He also says it in verse 17. Seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, so we all partake of the one bread. The one bread that we partake of is Jesus Christ. We are the one body in whom Jesus lives. We are the body of Christ. And the one who lives in the body of Christ is Christ himself. He's the bread, and we partake of that bread, and we are the bread. So please remember that in communion, you are receiving the soul and the body of Jesus Christ. You're taking on Jesus Christ. And of course, he was the Word made flesh, so you're receiving everything that the Word is when you take communion. Praise God forevermore. Now let's look in 1 Corinthians 11 and 17. But in giving you this charge, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Well, we don't want to come together as they did. We want to come together in communion, having in common the life of Christ. And we don't want these things that he's talking about here. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. Well, what's division? Division is the opposite of communion. You can't have communion if you've got division. The devil knows that. There's no power in what you do if there's division and strife and all the lusts of the flesh going on. And I partly believe it, for there must be also factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. Okay, now the faction is actually the word heresy, and there's a slight difference between faction and heresy. Some people think they are synonymous, that they're so close. And it's true, both of them have to do with people with selfish ambition, twisting and using the word for their own false doctrines to make converts and make sects. That's what it represents. Here's what Vine's Expository Dictionary says about heresies. An opinion, especially a self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth and leads to division and the formation of sects. A sect or division or strife, according to Galatians 5, is a work of the flesh. And if you walk after the flesh, you must die. And also sometimes in Galatians 5:20, it's called factions, divisions, parties. Such erroneous opinions are frequently the outcome of personal preference for the prospect of advantage. Personal preference for the prospect of advantage. In other words, holding something that you think is very important. Sometimes it's straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. It might be what Bible you use. It might be what name you baptize in. It may be something like that. And you know that you are using it to divide people for the sake of advantage, for selfish ambition. In other words, to make disciples. That's very, very close to faction. I think maybe the only thing that might be different is heresy. Heresy is more well known or believed to be false doctrine, using false doctrine. But let me say that even if you are speaking the truth in faction in order to divide people, it's still false. Do you get that? That's good. So the line there is very blurred. You don't want either one because neither one permits communion. As a matter of fact, as we read on, we see that. It says that when therefore you assemble yourselves together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. Why is that? Because it is a communion. You can't have communion if you've got division over doctrines and over lust of the flesh, over somebody's jealousies, somebody's personal ambition to have disciples. You know, let me just point out to you in 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to give you verses 1 through 3 here because this is probably the best description of what heresy is and faction 2. It says, but there arose false prophets also among the people as among you also. There shall be false teachers who shall privily bring in destructive heresy. There it is. Parties, sects by selfish ambition. People that have selfish ambition, dividing God's body, denying the master that bought them. Well, of course, because our master in John 17 says, pray that you may be one. And the wolves came in to divide the flock. Okay, these are wolves, and that's what denominationalism is too. Even though they may be based on some very heroic man in the past, somebody who was walking close to the Lord, some reformer, they are far, far, far from that man. And claiming him does not make the fact that they are of him. So it says that denying the master that brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. It always comes. I'm talking about these people many times are dead, even though they are walking. They are walking dead. They have no connection to God, no conscience anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Faction totally takes away a person's conscience, and they have no conscience. They begin to be thieves, fornicators, liars, and slanderers, anything but the body of Christ. And many shall follow their lascivious doings by reasons of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Yes. People speak against Christianity because of the corruption that faction brings people to. Even the denominational faction out there, it's so corrupt. Those old denominations are so dead and so corrupt. They bring people to speak evil of Christianity. They brought a bad name on Christianity. How many of you know that's true? I mean, you've got people in there that are bringing homosexuals in there to be preachers and stuff. Now, how far down can you go? And in covetousness, because that is what they have, shall they with feigned words, in other words, they are using the Bible for their own selfish ends, to make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. So that's a very good description of what this faction or heresy is. And faction is a common word in the scripture. And this one, by the way, is heresy. And as there is a note that in Greek, it's heresy. So when you assemble together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, that's talking about another disqualification for people who want to partake of the Lord's Supper. That was a disqualification. Faction, division, people that do that are not qualified to partake of the Lord's Supper. And they make a lot of other people unqualified to partake of the Lord's Supper. So for in your eating, each one takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. So notice it says drunken. People sometimes say that the Lord's Supper is grape juice. You don't get drunk on grape juice, folks, I can tell you that. It's wine. What they used is wine, but what we see here is selfishness. No love, not looking out for the brethren, not caring about the brethren's needs, you know. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. I want to say that there are many other things that can bring about this disqualification. For instance, let me read to you what he says about the Lord's Supper or the communion or the Passover, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Okay, so you're not partaking of Christ if you're partaking of the leaven of the Pharisee and the Sadducees and the leaven of Herod and the leaven of malice and wickedness. You're not partaking of Christ. He says to purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened by faith. Of course, for our Passover, see now we're talking about the Passover, the Lord went to keep the Passover with his disciple. And that's when he instituted the Last Supper, the communion. For our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast. And that is the feast of the Passover. And not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We can only keep the feast with unleavened bread. If any leaven is found in your house, you are cut off from among the people. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 warns us in verse 9, I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all meaning with the fornicators of this world or the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. So then you must needs go out of the world. The list is getting bigger here. Don't worry, just hold on. Don't worry yet. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. Separate. You need to be an unleavened lump. Not to keep company. If any man is named a brother, be a fornicator, a coveter, an idolater, a reviler, or drunken, an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. Not to eat what? The Passover, the unleavened bread. Don't have these people in your midst. He says to separate yourself from them. Don't have these people in your midst. It's not possible to have a Passover that way. It's not possible for you to have communion. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? He's talking about within the church, within the body. Okay, we don't want leaven in the body. But them that are without, God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Now that's very plain. We want to be able to keep the communion. And the only way to do it, folks, it is to put them away. I know they like to hide, but if you're holy, God will reveal this. He does it to us, and he does. People try to hide their sins and continue on, but God takes them out. He uses division. He divides them from you. That's faction. That's what it is, faction and heresy. He divides them from you in that way so that you can be holy. Folks, that's what he's done with us. We don't have to do anything. God does it. They just leave. They have to go. And God, you know, he sends them on the way. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity, or what communion, having in common, has light with darkness? You can't have communion with people of darkness. And that's why he says to throw the bombs out. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? You see, it's important that the people all know that this is a holy body. It has to stay holy. They have to repent or they have to leave. We want them to repent. We preach to them the gospel and the really good news that they don't have to live in sin anymore. But if they don't want that, if they want their sin, they need to leave. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And that's what communion is all about. This is what the Passover is all about. They had to eat the lamb. On Passover, when Jesus instituted communion, he passed out the bread. But he said that he, as the lamb, was that bread. That bread being his body, that bread being the word made flesh. And walk in them and I will be their God. Praise God. And walk in them and I will be their God. Oh, Lord. This is what partaking of the body and blood of Christ is. And they shall be my people, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Why? Because he wants a holy, completely righteous walk. People that are walking in the faith of God. Says the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be to you a father. Will be to you a father. This is to you a promise. And ye shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. When? When you come out from among them and be separate. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship, and fellowship is having things in common, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. They have to know that this is not acceptable in the body of Christ. For the things that are done by them in secret, because many times they hide their sins in secret, and they put on a good face, and they know how to talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And you don't want them in your midst. They have to repent. I tell you something, in this fellowship here, that sin will be exposed very quickly. Then somebody will have a dream, you know. Somebody will have this, somebody will have that. A word of knowledge. And it comes about. And God does it for a reason. He does that to for everyone to understand the fear of God, you know. You see, the church is not a place for evangelism. How many of you know that? It ain't a place for evangelism. The church is the place for raising up the body. You evangelize people outside the body. You bring them to Christ and faith in Christ, and then they are able to come into the body. It is a shame even to speak of the things that are done by them in secret, he's talking about. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Okay, if they don't want to obey the word, they don't want the light. And that's what the light is. And when they love the word and want the word, that light destroys the darkness. Do you remember Achan, who was hiding his sin under his tent? And he caused Israel to lose their battle to take the promised land. What's the promised land? Well, we've proven that the promised land is this life that the spiritual man lives in. Our bodies and our natural life came from the earth. It is the land. That land is promised to us. It was promised to the Israelites, not the Canaanite. The Canaanite must be driven out. He represents the lust of the flesh, the old man of the land. So we don't want people who want to live after the lust of their flesh. Because if a person thinks that's all right, they're going to die. That's what the Bible says. sinners in the midst do the same thing today that Achan did. Achan had to be out of the midst before they could win the battle. You remember that. If you've ever read Sanctification Before Blessing, you understand that when you're sin in the camp, nobody gets the blessing. Or all the blessings are held back. Let me put it that way. Let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. That's the Passover. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. Notice what he said. This is my body. We're not talking about transubstantiation. We're talking about faith. He said, this is my body. You accept this as my body. You believe this is my body. And it will be what? The cup of blessing. This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. So remember, the Passover was that the flesh of that lamb, and Jesus is the Word made flesh, which is the bread. And so Jesus is showing us the fulfillment of the Passover of the Old Testament, right? And the Word made flesh dwelt among us, and that's Jesus. In like manner also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant is, of course, what God freely gives to you when you repent and believe his life, his nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and that word life is again soul. The very soul, the very nature of Jesus, he gives to you when you, by faith, receive him in this way. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So, let me ask you this. If the Lord is going to live through you by his body and blood, what does that mean? It means death to the old man. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. There's your soul again. If you don't lose your soul, you don't gain his soul. You have to repent and believe. Repent means to give up your life, and believe means to accept his. And the word here, proclaim the Lord's death, means to show forth the Lord's death. How are you showing it forth? You are manifesting it. You are showing it for those around you. You are showing it in your life. And this is how you prove that this is the cup of the Lord until he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Whoa! Now, so what is the unworthy manner? What is all those things that I read to you? It's basically walking after the lust of the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. And it is the heresy, the division, the selfishness, the lack of love for the brethren. It is all those lusts of the flesh that we kick people out for in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. All those sins, the sin nature. We're having fellowship around the body and the blood of Christ, and we then partake of the body and blood of Christ. By the way, when you have the body and the blood of Christ living in you, you're able to give it to others. And if you don't, then you're giving away your old leaven. Sin is what you're giving away. You're polluting the body. If you're not plundering the devil's kingdom, you're running from him. That's what Jesus said. If you're not plundering his kingdom and walking by faith and believing, you have received everything from God that he gave you through his body and blood, and he's whipping you. If you don't know the gospel, this is the good news. The good news is preached in communion totally. It's preached in the Passover totally. The Lord is revealing to us the greatness of receiving his life through communion by faith. So when you come together to do communion, you confess your sins one to another. And you need to be right with God before you do this, or you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, you say that I am not going to mess with that, that it's too dangerous. No, you need the body and blood of the Lord. You need to be the body and blood of the Lord in the midst of God's people to be a blessing unto them. It is the cup of blessing. So if you do it in an unworthy manner, you have hidden sins like Achan did, or you have revealed sin, which everybody around you accepts, which is still contrary and forbidden in the Word of God, as we can see. So if you partake in an unworthy manner, that is not repentance and faith. You're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And that's a terrible thing. Okay, now I'm going to move over to where it says at the beginning of the paragraph, you are not to partake of the blood. It's about three or four things down. I don't know. It's four pages in my book. But you are not to partake of the blood or the nature or the soul of unclean people. Raise your hand when you get there. Okay. All right. Okay, Steve's there. Yeah. Okay, Marilyn's there. Joe's there. Denny and Debbie's there. Andrew, you there yet? Are you even looking? Okay. All right, here we go. You are not to partake of the blood or the nature or the soul of unclean people. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, in other words, the light that you have, you can only walk in the light that you have that is put in front of your feet. But if you walk in that light, he'll put more in front of your feet. Praise God. That's what he says. And you're not guilty for ignorance. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. There it is. One with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you go from unqualified to qualified. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Many people are like that. They are in denial because they don't want to admit that it's sin, because they don't want to give it up. It's the love of their life. It's an idol. He said that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. If we say that we have no sin. Verse 9. Now listen to this. This is how you get qualified here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Whoa. Get used to confessing your sins. Do it immediately. Do it when you sin. If you sin, by the way, because it says in the next verse, it says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. What could make you where you wouldn't sin? Well, he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous or just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How do you get to the place where you're not tempted to sin? Well, getting rid of unrighteousness is the way you do it. Unrighteousness is the nature of sin. You don't sin just because it jumps out of the air and grabs you. You sin. Well, I don't know. Sometimes it seems that way, don't it? But anyway, you sin because you're drawn away from your own lust and enticed. That's what the Bible says in James 1. So here God is telling you how to get rid of lust. You're in a trap if you will not confess your sins. People carry their sins on until they are destroyed because they will not confess their sins. I have seen that. I'm seeing it even as we speak. They're sorry for what they've done, but they won't confess their sins. Specifically, if it is sin, you must confess it as sin. If you'll do that, he'll take it away. In other words, you are getting on God's side. You are saying, this is sin, and I don't want it. It's not just mouthing, it's from the heart. These things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sins, Now notice that if is there, because he's not saying that it is certain that you're going to sin. If you walk in the body and blood of Christ and you walk by faith, your sin is going to be less and less and less. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That means he is the covering for our sins, because if you repent and you walk by faith, your sins are then covered until the Lord washes them away. And that's what he'll do if you walk by faith. And every time you sin, you confess it, he's going to wash you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, praise God. Do you know what that makes you? Qualified to partake. So let me say that you out there who do communion, which is a good thing, do it by faith, believe that you are receiving the very blood, the very nature, the very soul of Jesus Christ. Believe that you receive this, your trouble with demons. Just remember, when you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, he doesn't have demons. If you're troubled with sickness, just remember, when you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, he doesn't have sickness. And if you're troubled in any way with the curse, just remember, look at the Lord. You have received him. You behold him in the mirror, which means you say that it is no longer you that lives, along with Paul, that is Christ that lives in you. Now, this faith is the gospel. It's the good news. And all you have to do is believe. What must we do to do the works that are of God? Jesus said, believe on him who he has sent. Believe that Jesus Christ is your gift from God to walk in righteousness. You can partake of the soul of Jesus Christ. You have already partaken of the soul of your parents, and that's why you do many of the things you don't like to do and see in your parents. You probably said at some point, I'll never do that, when mom and dad did it, but you did it, didn't you? You know why? Because their blood was passed on to you. Their soul, their nature was passed on to you. You might even have gotten some of the blood of your grandparents. You might look back in your lineage and find somebody that's got the same fault that you've got. That's because that blood and that sin have been passed on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. What breaks this genetic curse that was passed on? That's the blood of Jesus. You need a transfusion. We all need a transfusion. And oh, praise God, and that's exactly what God gave to you. He gave to you a new father and a new mother. The glorified church. He's given to you this new nature. This is passed on to you. If you are in a corrupt, fallen apart church that's full of sinners, and they don't want to throw them out, get out of it. It's not the church. The church is the called out one. He said, come out from among them, and I'll be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. If you come out from among them. So if you're in a corrupt church that's backslidden, doesn't teach the truth, and has a lot of moralizing, but they don't tell you how to get there through the gospel. We're telling you how to get there today. This is how you get there. You accept the body and blood of Christ by faith. When you drink the wine, you are then partaking of the blood of Christ. That blood that has no sin in it, you are partaking of the holy blood, which is the life of the flesh, is in the blood. The life of Jesus' flesh is in the blood. He was holy. He was sanctified. And when you partake of his body, just remember, his body doesn't have sickness, right? The Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. A lot of people get healed by taking communion when they use faith. Think on that. Think and meditate on that. As he is, so are we. You see, we're commanded to pray for everything that we want. And Jesus said, when you do that, believe you have received all things whatsoever you'll pray and ask for. Believe that you have received them because you did at the cross. Believe you have received them and you shall have them. That's the word of the Lord. And so that's why we look into the mirror and we see Jesus. We've asked for Jesus. We want his life, and he gave it to us. And when we do communion, This is an act of faith whereby we're renewing our mind. We're reminding ourselves that today I am receiving the body and blood of Christ, the very soul and body in the Word of God, by the way, because he was the Word made flesh, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God. They ate all of the Lamb of God, all of his flesh, and the Lamb of God is Jesus. And he was the Word made flesh. So if you eat the Word, which is the bread at the Lord's Supper, you're taking a New Testament Passover. Some people say, well, I need to go back and eat the Lamb. Well, go ahead and go back under the law. But I got to tell you, the law is just a type and a shadow of the New Testament. And it's not the shadow that you want, it's the light. Come out from under the law and into the light, praise be to God. Boy, God's just got so much good stuff for us. We just need to believe. He said, this is my body and this is my blood. Now, why not believe him, you know? Is it physically? No. But when we believe, we are receiving his body and his blood right there. That's what we're receiving by the supernatural act of God. God has the power. He wants us to have the faith. Our part in the covenant is faith, folks. His part in the covenant is power. When we believe, we receive simply on the grounds that he said it. Then we get it, and that getting it comes from his power. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Would you like to have God's will? Would you like to have God's ability to do or his works to will and to work? Some translations say he works in us to will and to work of his good pleasure. I would like to be well-pleasing unto God, wouldn't you? Well, I can tell you the way to get there. It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. That's what Paul said. It's the power of God to save him who believes him. Now, you can look in the mirror, and you can see your old filthy self, but you know what you're going to have tomorrow? Your old filthy self. But if you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and you accept his life by faith, you have repented of your life. If you don't want it, but you don't know how to get there, well, then the next part is to believe. Just repent and believe. That was what was preached all through the gospel, all through the scriptures. Repent and believe. Not accept. No, it don't say that. That's a foolish church trying to fill up the pews with tithers. That's all that is. And they do pretty good about it. But they got a church full of leaven and they can't have any communion. They got too many willful sinners in there, you know. So repent and believe. Repent. You don't want that old life. Believe that Jesus gave you that new life. And if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. That's what Jesus said. And he's talking the same thing about your soul. If you don't lose your old soul, you're not going to gain your new soul. You want the soul of Christ, which is his mind, his will, and his emotions. That's what it is. His mind, his will, and his emotion. We have the mind of Christ. You know, Paul said it's by faith we receive that. By faith we have the mind of Christ. Now, you can't neglect your Christian duty to read the scriptures because the Lord brings to remembrance all things that he said unto us. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance things that he said to you. So when you read the things that he said to us, you're putting it in there. What he says, he will bring it to your remembrance. But you have to put it in there to bring it to your remembrance, right? So you can't neglect your Christian duty of studying the Word and putting the Word in your heart. Remember the parable of the sower? In the parable of the sower went out to sow the seed, and the seed was the Word of God, and it went into their heart. And it brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, in those that were good ground. The other three parts of the people that fell away, they heard it, but they didn't devour it. They didn't make it a part of their life. And when you eat something, it goes into you and it becomes what your cells are. You are what you eat, right? So if you assimilate the Word of God, The one who lives in you is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that all the brethren out there, even in their homes, that they decide to have communion, that they will be clean, that they will want to be clean, want to be cleansed, and accept your cleansing power by faith in the blood and the body of Christ. So, Father, we ask you to give wisdom and grant grace to the brethren and wisdom to the brethren so they can receive this wonderful good news, this wonderful gospel that you're offering to them, the very life of Christ. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the son among sons. We come into his image. We come into his sonship. We don't have to be a child all of our lives anymore. We have the word to grow up on, feed on, and to bring forth fruit of Jesus Christ in us. We have that word, and we can grow up in him. Oh, glory be to God. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got any questions? That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Is that audio also?
I don't know, probably. Yeah, that's probably a transcription. Yeah, it is. It's a transcription. So it's probably an audio in there, too. He's done two or three of them on communion. That's the one that I found. He did, last time we did communion, he did it here, you know.
Yeah, it was good, too.
Yeah. Any question? Everybody fessed up? I hope everybody's fessed up now. Hang on just a second. Let me get my stuff. Okay. Y'all look up for, yeah. Go ahead, Lena. Go ahead.
This is Chad. This is Chad. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, Chad. Go ahead.
Okay, great. This is just on my heart because when I was listening to the second to the most recent Bible study, I guess it'd be the one from last Sunday, it's really powerful as usual. And I was, you know, really a state of prayer and having good communion with the Lord. And while David was talking about the things that God is going to do when, as he brings judgment upon all this wickedness going on, both to the church and the things going on in the system and the world, that he's going to save, some of the most wicked among them. And I felt this self-righteous, this ugly self-righteousness just rise up in me. Like, I could picture people having done some of the worst things, and I've had a heart to, really humbly be in a place where I can be a light and a testimony and an encouragement to those people that God will draw into his kingdom. And I just felt this nasty self-righteousness rise up in me. I'm like, oh, what is this, And so I took it before the Lord, and I confessed a good confession that the old Chad was crucified with Christ and the old me is dead and all that. But I just felt like, I'm just going to take it another step and bring it into the light. And I confess that. Lord, I thank you that self-righteousness does not belong to me. And I just confess that. I don't want anything to do with that, Lord. I know that with what you showed me, with all the purging and this great difficulty you brought me through in the last last year and into this year, that you exposed the evil depths of my heart. I'm so thankful you did that, Lord. And so whatever that was, I don't want any place, Lord, in me for that. And I bring it into the light, and I thank you that it's not mine and that I am washed in the blood, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Chad. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing power. Okay. All right, Wade, go ahead, brother.
Yes, as you know, I contacted you and practically accused you right forward that
Wade, your volume is way down. We can just barely hear you.
Is this any better?
Oh, yeah, it's much better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I always forget that mic. I just wanted to repent of having accused you of accusing me, and I should know what I'm talking about before I make a statement like I did the other night, writing to you. So I apologize and I repent.
That's okay, brother. I forgive you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing Wade of any kind of condemnation at all. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I confessed my sin the other day because I got carried away with my knowledge of my job and my work, and I got offended when somebody was kind of questioning my abilities. And I thought, I took that to offense, and that kind of got under my skin a little bit, and I kind of vented a little bit, and then I realized, oh, my gosh, you know, it took me down a road I didn't want to go, but you just got to – got caught up into it, and I confessed it to the Lord, and had to cast off all those evil spirits that are coming after me at that point. So that pride thing can get in the way just when you least expect it.
Amen. It sure can. All right. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing power. In Jesus' name. Is that everybody? Yeah, Missy. Uh-oh, we're going to be here a while, folks. Messy, you know I got a mess with you. Go ahead.
I know. Boy, paybacks, Michael. You just wait.
I know. I got to mark that down too.
Anyway, you know, since Merle quit his part-time job that was almost full-time job, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, you know, having him around, you know, all the time. And I just want to confess, and I've already repented, but you know, I just feel like kind of like others have said, you know, just to bring it into the light. And just having a tendency to be quick to correct him or criticize him, or you know, that kind of thing, or even just self-righteousness and pride. And I repent of all them, and Lord, I don't want any of them either, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for cleansing me of all that, and filling me up with a lot of grace to give grace. I even need the grace, you know, to give grace, Lord. And and just put in me a heart of greater love and compassion, and to consider Merle above myself. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Cleansing power. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just want to confess to you. I did confess to Nora and ask forgiveness and ask for Lord. I did get upset over Monday night. It was the most stupid thing. I don't know why I did it, but I know it was the Lord telling me to get rid of all this small stuff in my life. It's not worthy to be like him and to walk in like him. Just want to confess it to you, and I'll already confess it to them. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your repentance. Yeah, Joe D.
I would like to confess, well, I think I've already confessed it before. I think it was about a week ago or so, for the few who remember. I still kind of struggle with the legalistic attitude, you know, with the lust. I've confessed that before. But it's that legalistic attitude that kind of keeps me in that that sin, you know, trusting in my prayers, as Pat said, you know. I think it was on a Saturday or Thursday, but I mean, you know, earlier. So I want to confess that and just, you know, yeah, repent of that. And, well, let me just pray, Lord, give me grace to recognize, you know, that I still do this at times, as I'm trusting in those prayers and not your finished work on the cross to, you know, overcome this sin. So I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you for your overcoming power to believe it's already been done and there's nothing I can do to overcome this. So thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, anyone else? What is iPad shedding? Joe, what is iPad shedding?
Is that their shared sheep?
No. No. Sorry. That's supposed to be load shedding. I haven't got real light yet. It's, I did post it now just to see what it is. You can read it. Sorry. I can't see really. It says only a small light have.
I thought it said iPad shooting. Okay. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I'd like to share a little bit. Just been. Well, I don't know that it's the flesh. I just believe more it's just demonic oppression at times. Just things from my past of fear and worry and anxiety about things of the future and that kind of thing. And it's been a walk to overcome a lot of that stuff. But I believe God has really brought me out of all that. And I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and not loving my life even unto death. And I proclaim that and declare it, and it's done. Thank you, Lord.
You're muted, Michael.
Oh, thank you. I confess of being muted too many times. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for taking that away from me.
We forgive you.
Okay, praise you, Father. All right, anybody else? Okay. What I'm going to take it from is 1 Corinthians 11. Do it from 1 Corinthians 11, 24. I think I put it in there, didn't I? No, it's there. Did I put that on the sheet that I sent y'all, the Gospel of the Communion or whatever it's called? the bottom, the 1 Corinthians 11:24-26. Okay, yep. Good.
Yeah, it's okay. There. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, good. Thank you, Stephen. I ain't going to show you how much wine I got here. Okay. Well, thank you, Lord, for allowing this for all of us to be cleansed. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you with this communion. And Lord, I thank you for cleansing us all. And give us that imagination to believe that this is actually happening to us. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, talking about the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." So let's partake of the bread. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now we'll partake of the cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Father, we just praise you. We glorify you, Father, for the blood and the bread of God all up inside of us, Lord. We believe it by faith that we're walking like you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, that Christ is full in us. And if Christ is full in us, healing has come, because Christ doesn't have any sickness in him. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your healing power upon everybody that believes, Lord. And deliverance, Lord, we thank you for all the deliverances as well. In Jesus' name. Provisions, anything that God, Jesus doesn't have any lack, none at all. And Lord, we thank you that we don't either. We praise you, Father, for the bold faith you've given us to believe that when we partake of your bread and your wine, this wine that represents your blood, Lord, that we're walking like you now. And we praise you for it, Father. We have the Passover. We have the protection of God, and we trust you, Lord, from this point on forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord, for touching everybody out there that has faith to believe, Lord. And those that don't, Lord, we ask that you pour faith all over in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all receive that in Jesus' name. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like now. I feel like I can float plumb out of here. Glory to God. I do. Watch out, Barry. I'm liable to show up most any time, brother. Look out, Joe. I may be coming any second. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for keeping us out from underneath the law. We're not under the law. We're under his grace. Mm-hmm. Thank God for allowing us to walk in his freedom he gave us in Christ to be sin-free, because when we're not under that law, we're not under condemnation. We're not under the guilt. We're just under his love and his guidance and his spirit. And that's so much, that's so good. That's so great to have that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, man, I got to get up, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. My. Thank you, Jesus. Filling this room up. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. I've told y'all before, we've got three angels that we know about. There's one right outside the door, and one across the hall, and one downstairs. This is Barry out here, Baruch. I call him Barry. And then across the hall is Jerry. His name is Juriel. And then the one downstairs, his name is Shem. I forget what they call it, what his real name is. I just call him Jerry, Barry, and Shem. They're out there. They're out there. Praise God. Ooh, my. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, praise God. I just wanted to just testify. I'm so thankful for the unity that Charity and I feel with, you know, with the body. And God has just been bringing me into a greater revelation and understanding of the power of unity that, you know, I mean, I know that I cannot make it on my own. I don't want to. I don't want to even try. I don't want to even think about it. But on the other side of it, he's been giving me a real sense of the power of the unity. And we've, you know, we really feel it over here and the warfare and the things that God is bringing us through. And just I'm hearing from the Lord really good. And I feel just strengthened so much throughout each day, as sometimes, you know, the trials get hot and heavy, and I just am able to focus on the Lord. And I've even found myself rejoicing sometimes, and right in the midst of the suffering and you know, the burning of my flesh, and able to be thankful. So I just praise God for everyone here, and that I'm just so humbled and thankful that God has brought us into fellowship with you all. And so we love you, and we thank you for all your prayers, and we also keep everyone in prayer each day. And just glory to God. I'm just so thankful. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. Y'all be blessed. All right. Well, I almost just jumped up there and got that shofar and went to blowing it, but I might wake David up or scare him to death. Might do it anyhow. Woo, Jesus, help me, Lord. He is too. Y'all feel that? Y'all feel the Holy Spirit? I know y'all do.
I want all that you got there, Michael, too. I want that.
You got it, girl. You got it. Yes. Just raise your hands and receive it.
Right here. Fill me up, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Ooh, Lord, don't let nothing go, Lord. Don't let nothing go. I'm just saying. Run it out amongst them, Lord. Be like Benny Hinn. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. My goodness, dance before the Lord. Lynn, are you feeling it out there in Missouri? Missouri.
I was going to say, this is God's country, Michael.
Amen, brother. It is, too. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all getting cold weather up there? It's not right there where you at, is it?
It's probably about the same as you all.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my.
It's 26 here.
I feel your pain, brother. It's 80 here. 79 now. It dropped a degree. Praise God. Thank you. See, the angels even like this warm weather. Thank you, Lord. I like it old cold weather. I don't blame them. Praise God. I'll be so happy. Y'all happy? I'll be so happy. I'm happy, 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 happy. Oh, man, how do you top this? What y'all want to do now? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord of God. My, 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 my. Ooh, I feel. Ooh, my. Yeah, Denny. Denny's got a word. Y'all yeah. Listen.
I just wanted to ask Steve and Helen what's been going on. They want to share a little. I don't know if they did already. Did we miss the first part?
No, we haven't shared anything. I was just thinking about the when they finished with Passover, didn't they always sing some of the Hallel Psalms? You know, like 115, 16, 17, somewhere in there. There's about five of them or so. I can't remember which ones they are, but it seems like they always went out and praised. And
yeah, they did.
Some of the Psalms.
So. Go ahead, brother. Lead us.
Hey, I'm not the one to lead it. You need to get you know, somebody like Malcolm or something. To play the
piano. Where is Malcolm? Hey, Malcolm may be snowed in.
Yeah, it could be. He's in Washington.
All right, Debbie. Come on, Debbie. Missy. Some of you singers out there. I'd sing, but I don't want to run nobody off. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
Oh, my. Well, I thought about this song earlier today, and I thought it would be a good song. And I kind of like shoved it to the side, you know. I just was like, you know, now I'm not going to say anything, but since you said something. And I haven't practiced it lately, and I'm not warmed up, so just give me a lot of grace here. But just join in this song of love and appreciation and thankfulness and gratitude and praise to the Lord. The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that make her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I'd spend my days pour my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair, you weren't there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. Oh, you don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice, shedding your blood and your broken body for us.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good Missy. That's one of my favorites. Praise God. Whew. Okay, Steve, you ready?
Well, I'm not going to sing, but I can tell you some of the things that maybe have been going on for us. We're getting kind of semi-retired.
Oh, okay.
We don't spend much time working so much anymore. And we have our own business, but we have other people kind of take care of a lot of stuff so we can be a little more free. Visit our children around the country. We have one in California and one in Texas and one in North Carolina. She used to live close to you in Tennessee, but she moved over to North Carolina. So we get out to visit them. And you know, God's got a lot of things he's working on in our family. There's always a lot of brokenness that God's fixing, so that's a good thing. And I mean, the God fixing it part is the good thing. So we're seeing that, and we're excited about that. And, well, we enjoy going through David's books. We do that together. We sit down in the evening and go through, read a little bit. You don't have to read very much before. It's quite a bit to digest. So you go through, you know, half a dozen pages or so and study that. So we're in Destructive Demon Doctrines right now. We're going through that. So that's a blessing. I love David's books because the scriptural density is always so much higher than anything else you find out there. And, you know, other people charge for the books too. They don't have as much, so David makes his all available, you know, for at no cost. So that's a blessing.
We're looking forward to seeing y'all come by here too.
Well, we might come down there again sometime.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to come down there every once in a while. See y'all.
Yeah.
Is it all y'all's or I forget how that goes. If there's more than one, a bunch of you, it's all y'all's, right?
Yeah.
In Indiana, we don't have y'all's. You know, we just,
you,
just have.
You ain't got no y'all.
No, we don't have no y'all's.
Okay. Yeah. Praise God. Helen, you don't sing a song?
I don't think so.
Well, you can play the piano.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll have to get her and Malcolm on some night as a duo piano playing. Okay.
Yeah, Malcolm's pretty good.
Yeah, he can play pretty good. All right, Debbie, you going to sing one? You don't have one? Okay. Julie? You don't have one either. Andrew, you gonna sing one? No? Tim? Where's Leon? Leon, you gonna sing one? I hate to sing. Denny, you gonna sing one? Man, you need to work up a duet. You know what I'm saying? us together, we might sound pretty good. Leon, you gonna sing a song?
No, but Deb is dying to sing one.
She said she wasn't. You think she sent me a fibbing? No, she ain't fibbing. Okay. All right, well, Barbara, you gonna sing one?
I'll sing if you sing, Michael.
Okay, what we gonna sing, girl?
I have no idea.
Okay. Oh my.
Michael, you can sing God's Gonna Get My Praise.
God's Gonna Get My Praise. All right, Barbara, what's yours? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay. We just need some backup instruments, don't we, Barbara?
Yeah, that's it. Sure.
All right. Does anybody want to share anything? I tell you what, the Holy Spirit's still strong in here. Still strong. Anybody want to share anything? We still got a long time. We got 43 minutes left. Anybody got a testimony? Of a testimony? Yeah, Leah.
I'll give the one that I was going to give Tuesday night when I didn't have any sound.
Oh, okay. But, yeah.
My back was really out of whack, and you guys prayed for, in the morning meeting, you prayed for Brandy. And while you were sitting there, I said, hey, well, I got something too. Why don't you pray for my back? Well, it's been very good ever since then. So God healed my back, and I'm appreciative of that.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Where'd Joe go? Okay. He just went somewhere. Oh, there he is. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? A story. Anybody got a story? Go ahead, George.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, just barely, but we can hear you.
All right. Well, my neck, I couldn't turn my head this week. I was hurting pretty bad. And I received healing today myself. I started off the day hurting and feel really good now. I'm very grateful. Also, I think today is the anniversary, or it's a commemoration to recognize the victims of Communism Day. And I was reading in a Richard Wurmbrand devotional, and he was saying how at an atheistic meeting, this guy stood up with a glass of water and he dumped a little packet in it and turned purple. He said, see, he tried to convince them that that's what Jesus had done and fooled that group a long time ago when he turned water into wine. And he said, I'm going to go one better. And he dumped another packet in and it turned it back clear. And one of the guys in the meeting stood up and said, okay, you've shown us a wonderful miracle there. Now drink it. And the guy said, no, I can't drink it because the stuff I put in there is poisonous. And he said, exactly. And basically, Jesus gave us life and he gave us his spirit. And communism gave us poison to the world. And I just think that by marking that with this broadcast and anybody that comes across it, there's a wave of communism that's still trying to go around the world. And I just want to declare that it's poison and will not partake of it, will not stand for it, will not agree with it, and that we will come into agreement with the life that Jesus Christ has given to the world and his true power, and that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Everywhere that there's socialism and communism, there's poverty to the nth degree. All you got to do is look in these United States at the Democrat-run cities. There's cesspool of crime and corruption. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We can sit here and just look at one another for a few minutes. Okay. Let me think of something I could. Does anybody have any good stories to tell about some past Christians? And, you know, when David was talking about denominations that made their denominations on godly men years and years ago, first thought came to my mind was the John Wesley and the Methodist Church, you know, and how far they, because Wesley was a holiness preacher and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was he worked miracles, and they about as far away from that now as day and night. But anyway, that's what he was talking about. Where does anybody know the history of the Baptist Church? Is it, you know, they say that it goes all the way back to John the Baptist. Now, I don't know. I haven't really looked at it. No? Oh, man, where'd they get that word? Where'd they get that name? Go, George.
I'll stay away from that one. I do study the Anabaptist quite a bit, but
yeah.
I was thinking about, I think the first spirit-filled people that came to this country, America, were the Huguenots, possibly. And they were run out of, persecuted out of Europe, and landed around St. Augustine or Jacksonville, Florida, somewhere there. And I don't know, I've studied it before. I think I'm going to dig back into that one again. I wish I had more information for you, but there's an unheard of group you don't really hear too much about, but I think I'm going to study up on them a little bit more too.
Well, you know, they've got a, there's a book out, and I'm trying to find it here, that the Anabaptists had about all the martyrs that have been in their organization over the years. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Let me look here, see if I've got it on this.
It's called the Martyr's Mirror.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Martyr's Mirror. So you've read that.
Yeah, it's
still around today?
It weighs about 15 pounds.
they had some atrocious things done to them. Drawn and quartered, flayed, you name it, they went through it. A lot of stuff like that happened back then. Religious spirits. We're going to see that in the days ahead. I'm sorry to tell you. We're going to see that in the days ahead, this religious spirit comes on people.
Michael, I've got a good story based on the, I believe it was the Anabaptists, but when they settled into, I believe it was when they first settled into America, I could be wrong, but anyway, there was like a English privateers or something that were coming up the coast, and just anywhere they stopped, they just raided, took anything they wanted, murdered anybody they wanted. And in this village where they came in, the man of God basically went out to meet them, invited them to his house to eat, and just was a man of peace to them and showed them hospitality. And they kind of went around the neighborhood and just said, who's the best man here in this village or whatever? And everybody pointed them towards this guy. So when he had shown them that hospitality, they got back in their boat and left the coast without touching that village and went on down and about their business. So that was kind of a good testimony that they didn't try to, they resisted. They did not resist the evil man, but they, you know, just let God handle it, basically.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Anabaptists was a unique group. They had a lot of splinter groups after a while. The Amish come out of them. What's the other one?
The Mennonites?
Mennonites, yeah.
Hutterites too, I think.
Yeah. Plains people here, we got them. Yeah. They went into the law, though. Yeah, it's an interesting group. It's an interesting history, just like George said. They went through a lot of persecution. All right, anybody else?
I just think it'd be interesting to find groups that were spirit-filled back then and if they're spirit-filled today, if they're even a group or what happened. Did they become, you know, part of man's religion, lose it all?
Well, the Anabaptists, George, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they were spirit-filled. They just got away from it after a while, like so many of them do. When they started out, they were filled with the spirit, if I'm not mistaken.
Seems like they always try to find a reason why you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be a Christian.
Yeah. Well, because it has in the past been so controversial. I remember when I was a kid, you know, it's just them old holy rollers over there, you know, like it was something derogatory. That's just the way it was, you know. Don't pay no attention to them. That's just a bunch of holy rollers. But I guess I am one now. Good gracious sakes alive. I'll just be a holy roller. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, it's an awesome life to be living with the Holy Spirit power available. Yeah, Leah.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, it gives a lift of the gifts of the Spirit, but also in Romans 12, it gives a list of the gifts of the Spirit as well. But they're not the power gifts like in Corinthians. So a lot of people have those gifts, but they don't have the power gifts. And they think that the power gifts are not for today, but those gifts are for today. And I can't understand that. You know, you're shutting out the Holy Spirit, based on whatever, because you don't have a certain gift. You've only got a different gift, but that gift is just as important as the other gift, you know, but they still, they don't believe in the power gift. So
I don't know. That's because they're not experiencing them. And well, and then of course they don't believe in it, so they're not going to experience them.
Right, right. But they got the gifts of the Spirit, just not those power gifts. They still got the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't understand that. I don't know. Maybe they're jealous.
No, it's they don't want to get into the supernatural.
What do you mean by gifts of the Spirit? What are you talking about?
Is that for me or what?
Yeah, go ahead.
The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians and the gifts in the Spirit of Romans 12. So one's a power gift and one isn't, but they're all gifts of the Spirit. If you do them, they're gifts from God. Is that sufficient?
I guess. I was just thinking about it, because even when we were going through communion here, it talked about God supplies the power, we supply the faith. And I would think that was the biggest thing to overcome for even for me to even get the gift of the Holy Spirit and be able to speak in tongues was giving the faith. So is that going to be our limitation period with the getting the power gifts? Is gifts just us coming in agreement with God that that's going to be ours? That's the only limitation we got is our faith?
I want to
come in. I stuck a copy of the power gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 in the chat.
Say that again, Steve.
I posted the 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, the nine gifts, the nine power gifts you're referring to in the chat. So if you can look in the chat to read them.
I would think power gifts would also include healings and, you know, people raising people from the dead, that kind of thing.
I mean, you know, that's something that we, when we get through with the Shepherd book, we can go into is the spiritual gifts and what each one, how each one works. If y'all would like to, that's a good study there.
I'd like to go into getting them, also acquiring these gifts. You know,
in what?
So go into with a God and the Holy Spirit, so we can acquire more of these gifts.
Yeah.
You know, seek God for more of these.
You know how to be assured that the gifts are going to be in operation? Two words. Unity and one accord. Maybe three words. Unity and one accord brings the Holy Spirit in with the gifts. So when we get into that unity and one accord, look out. Because the gifts are going to be in operation big time. We're getting close, folks. We're getting close. It's going to happen. Stephen says, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, gifts of healing, the same spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongue, to another interpretation of tongue. Amen. Yeah, Joe.
Be another good study to do what unity and one accord is. So I think I remember, I've never really understood it. You know, I still kind of not sure what that entails. I think I watched a documentary a while back about the Moravians, and they talked briefly about it at the beginning. But I think they'd be another good one just to kind of truly understand, okay, this is what it looks like. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay, that's a pretty simple one. That'd be a good one to do.
Yep.
Yeah, Andrew.
It is promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 6 to 8. There's a nice promise there. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a promise of all those gifts there.
The Holy Spirit's the gift.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that's a it's written like a promise to you in 1 Corinthians 1, 6 to 8. A promise from God.
Yeah. Go ahead, George. Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking, and I've been thinking on it for a long time, that God is a restorer, and he promises that he's going to restore the things that have been stolen. And I'd like to just go through and kind of maybe catalog what exactly is he going to restore and what's going to be restored to the body or the church. Just what does a glorious bride of Christ, what does that look like on the planet, walking out that total restoration and that power that God wants to, you know, just destroying the works of the enemy everywhere we see him. And what could we possibly be missing?
Yeah. And let's we're fixing to see it, brother. We're fixing to see it. I guarantee man, child ministry fixed to come on and show it. Lord of God, I tell you what, just walking like Jesus walked. I haven't seen it in 2,000 years. Walking in the steps of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Oh, my gosh, we're already out of time. We were looking for time earlier. Somebody to say something. Now we all talking, man. We didn't run out of time. Lord of God. Whew. My goodness. Let me see here. Hey, Joe, would you dismiss us with a prayer? Do you mind? Yeah. Joe DeBrazzi.
There we go. Joe D.
Joe D.
Father God, we just thank you for this time tonight of fellowship. Thank you for the communion, Lord. We thank you that by faith we've received you, Lord, everything you are. And everything we are is no longer, because we're dead. We thank you that we have been crucified with you, Lord. And it's no longer we that live, but it's you that lives through us. So help us to cling to that by faith, Lord, to rest and knowing that is a reality, you know. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that reality. We ask that you would bless our night, bless our sleep. Give us dreams, Lord, each of us dreams, and just to encourage us, to exhort us, you know. I mean, whatever you want to tell us. And, you know, give us each specifically where we're at currently to whatever you deem, correction, exhort us, admonish us, you know. Lord, you know what we need right now. So we ask for dreams and just for each one of us, you know, we thank you for that, Lord. And go with us this weekend, be with us in the next few days, and just help us to continue to draw near to you, Lord. As you draw near to us, help us to draw near to you in these days ahead, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dave, you're going to host Saturday night.
I'll be there.
Okay, brother. All right.
All righty, all right.
Good night, y'all. Bless you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Let me unmute everybody. All right, y'all are unmuted.
Good night.